From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
President Trump on Wednesday hosted a press conference at the White House featuring members of his coronavirus task force, which was established on January 29th. A quarantine and travel entry ban was announced the following day, and ongoing efforts to mitigate the outbreak were also discussed. The task force is led by Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar. It includes Dr. Robert Redfield, who's director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Dr. Anthony Fauci, who's director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at the National Institutes of Health, Ken Cuccinelli, who's the acting deputy secretary at the Department of Homeland Security, and Matthew Pottinger, who's an assistant to the president and deputy national security advisor. After introductory remarks by the president and some of the task force members, President Trump opened the floor to questions from the press. We bring you as much of that as time allows.
Yesterday that they believe it's inevitable that the virus will spread in the United States, and it's not a question of if but when. Do you agree with that assessment?
Well, I don't think it's inevitable. It probably will. It possibly will. It could be at a very small level, or it could be at a larger level. Whatever happens, we're totally prepared. We have the best people in the world. You see that from the study. We have the best prepared people, the best people in the world. Congress is willing to give us much more than we're even asking for. That's nice for a change. But we are totally ready, willing, and able. It's a term that we use. It's ready, willing, and able. It's going to be very well under control. Now, it may get bigger. It may get a little bigger. It may not get bigger at all. We'll see what happens. But regardless of what happens, we're totally prepared. Please.
You talked a little earlier about the screening measures that you put in place and the travel restrictions you put in place regarding China. At this point, as the virus spreads in Italy and South Korea, are you planning on adding those countries?
Well, just so you understand, you know, I'm the president of the United States. I'm not the president of other countries. Other countries, some are on the list that are very respected in what they do in terms of what we're talking about. But I really want to be responsible for this country if it means placing a very strong situation on the border so people can't come into our country from a country that is infected. We're doing that, and we've already done it with numerous countries. But we have to focus on this country. I don't think it's right to impose ourselves on others. But if others aren't taking care or we think they're doing it incorrectly, you know, we're dealing with world health. And we have terrific people. And CDC does go around and help other countries, give them recommendations as what to do. But they're working on their countries, and we're working on our countries. And so far, from our standpoint, it's really worked out very well.
Just to follow up on Steve's question, can you clarify, are you considering restricting travel to and from South Korea, Italy, and other countries that have been affected?
At a right time, we may do that. Right now, it's not the right time, but at a right time. And we are checking people as they come through, specifically for the problem that we're dealing with. So we're checking a lot of people if they're coming from South Korea. It's been hit pretty hard. Italy's been hit pretty hard. China is obvious what's happened in China. But again, the numbers seem to be leveling off and going down in China, which is very good news. So we'll see what happens.
Please. President, White House has spent the day denying that they are going to appoint Azar to run point on the coronavirus response. Today, the Secretary Azar testified that he didn't think one was necessary and they were going to run it out of HHS. And you yourself have been downplaying this. So why are you now selecting the vice president
well,
to run
Mike
point
on
this?
Well, Mike is not Azar, vice president. He's in the administration. But I'm having everybody report to Mike. Mike's been very good, very adept. Anybody that knows anything about healthcare, they look at the Indiana model, and it's been a very great success. It's been a tremendous model in terms of healthcare, and this is really an offshoot of that. So this isn't a czar. I don't view Mike as a czar. Mike is part of the administration, but I'm having them report to Mike. Mike will report to me. They'll also be reporting in some cases to both. I'll be going to meetings quite a bit, depending on what they want to do and what message we want to get out. But we've done really an extraordinary job. When you look at a country this size, with so many people pouring in, we're the number one in the world for people coming into a country by far. We have a total of 15 cases, many of which, almost much within a day, I will tell you, most of whom are fully recovered. I think that's really a pretty impressive mark. Now, we did take in 40 people that were Americans, and they're also recovering, but we brought them in, so I call that, I have a different group. But we felt we had an obligation to American citizens outside of the country that were trying to get back in. We thought it was very important.
The president, the stock market has taken a big hit over the past few days. What can you do about that? And if the CDC is right in saying that the spread is inevitable, are you going to be dealing with stock market issues and economy issues for some time to come?
Well, I really think the stock market is something I know a lot about. I think it took a hit maybe for two reasons. I think they look at the people that you watched debating last night and they say if there's even a possibility that can happen, I think it really takes a hit because of that. And it certainly took a hit because of this, and I understand that also because of supply chains and various other things and people coming in. But I think the stock market will recover. The economy is very strong. The consumer is the strongest it's ever been. Our consumers are incredible. They're incredible. That's why we're doing well and other countries have not. Even before the virus, we're doing great. Other countries have not been doing great. Our consumer is very, very strong, very powerful economically. Yeah, please.
Mr. President, have you been presented any plans that would involve quarantining cities like we saw in China? And what would have to happen for you to take a
step? We do have plans of a much on a much larger scale, should we need that. We're working with states. We're working with virtually every state. And we do have plans on a larger scale if we need it. We don't think we're going to need it, but, you know, you always have to be prepared. And again, Congress is talking to us about funding, and we're getting far more than what we asked for. And I guess the best thing to do is take it. We'll take it.
How much money are you willing to give Congress if they're going $6 billion?
Well, we're going to see, but we'll take care of states because states are working very hard. We have hospitals in states that make rooms available, and they're building quarantine areas, areas where you can keep people safely. We're working really well with states. It's a very big part of it. So, you know, my attitude, if Congress wants to give us the money so easy, wasn't very easy for the wall, but we got that one done. If they want to give us the money, we'll take the money and we'll just do a good job with it. Yeah, please. Go ahead.
Mr. President, should Americans be going out getting protective equipment such as masks and so forth? And if so, what is the U.S. doing to boost production of masks?
Well, we can get a lot of it. In fact, we've ordered a lot of it just in case we need it. We may not need it. You understand that. But in case we're looking at worst case scenario, we're going to be set very quickly. But I don't think we're going to ever be anywhere near that. I really don't believe that we're going to be anywhere near that. Our borders are very controlled. Our flights in from certain areas that we're talking about are very controlled. I don't think we'll ever be anywhere near that. Please go ahead.
Back to the stock market for a second. The travel-related stocks have especially been hammered here in the last couple days. What would you say to Americans out there who right now are looking forward to the summer or the upcoming months and saying to themselves, should I make myself a summer plan? Should I go travel abroad?
Well, hopefully they're going to be able to do that. We hope that it's going to be in good shape by that time. But, you know, they're going to have to remain a little bit flexible. Yeah, I would say travel-related companies, certainly right now, they would be hurt. At the same time, this ends. This is going to end. Hopefully it'll be sooner rather than later. And I think the business that they lost will be picked up at a later date. But, you know, right now, I think they're not going to be probably not going to be going to China. They're not going to be going to certain countries where the problem is far greater than it is in the United States. What it's going to do is keep people home, and they're going to travel to places that we have. We have the greatest, it's the greatest tourism country in the world. So instead of leaving our country, leaving our shores, they'll stay here. And again, when you have 15 people, and the 15 within a couple of days is going to be down to close to zero. That's a pretty good job we've done.
What is your response to Speaker Pelosi, who said earlier today that you don't know what you're talking about the coronavirus? I'm also wondering if you'd want to address critics who say you can't be trusted about what your administration is saying.
Sure. I think Speaker Pelosi's incompetent. She lost the Congress once. I think she's going to lose it again. She lifted my poll numbers up 10 points. I never thought that I would see that so quickly and so easily. I'm leading everybody. We're doing great. I don't want to do it that way. It's almost unfair if you think about it. But I think she's incompetent, and I think she's not thinking about the country. And instead of making a statement like that, where I've been beating her routinely at everything, instead of making a statement like that, she should be saying we have to work together because we have a big problem potentially And maybe it's going to be a very little problem. I hope that it's going to be a very little problem. But we have to work together. Instead, she wants to do that same thing with crying Chuck Schumer. He goes out and he says, the president only asked for $2.5 billion. He should have $8.5 billion. This is the first time I've ever been told that we should take more. Usually it's we have to take less. And we should be working together. He shouldn't be making statements like that because it's so bad for the country. And Nancy Pelosi, I mean, she should go back to her district and clean it up because it's the number one. If you look at percentage down, that was one of the finest in the world. And now you look at what's happening. And I'm just saying, we should all be working together. She's trying to create a panic. And there's no reason to panic because we have done so good. These professionals behind me and over here and over there and back here and in some conference rooms. I just left a group of 45 people that are the most talented people in the world. Parts of the world are asking us in a very nice way, can they partake and help them? So Nancy Pelosi shouldn't, and she knows it's not true. She knows all they're trying to do is get a political advantage. This isn't about political advantage. We're all trying to do the right thing. They shouldn't be saying, this is terrible. President Trump isn't asking for enough money. How stupid a thing to say. If they want to give us more money, that's okay. We'll take more money. Some Republicans think we should have more money, too. That's okay. We'll take more money. But they shouldn't demean the people that are on the stage who are the finest in the world. They're not demeaning me. They're demeaning the greatest healthcare professionals in the world and people that do exactly what we're talking about.
Your campaign today sued the New York Times for an opinion piece.
Yeah.
Is it your opinion or is it your contention that if people have an opinion contrary to yours, that they should be sued?
Well, when they get the opinion totally wrong, as the New York Times did, and frankly, they've got a lot wrong over the last number of years. So we'll see how that, let that work its way through the courts.
Right?
No. If you read it, you'll see it's beyond an opinion. That's not an opinion. That's something much more than an opinion. They did a bad thing. And there'll be more coming. There'll be more coming.
Can I have another crisis here?
Tokyo,
we'll host
the
Summer
Olympic this July. Do you expect Tokyo will be?
I hope so, because Shinzo Abe is a very good friend of mine. I love the people of Japan. And I hope it's going to be in good shape. As you know, you have a number of people in Japan who have been infected. I hear they're doing a very professional job, which doesn't surprise me at all, with Shinzo and with all of the people you have. I know Japan very well. I think they're going to handle it very well. It's a little tight, you know, it's a little tight. They spent billions of dollars building one of the most beautiful venues I've ever seen. And your prime minister is very proud of it. I hope it's going to be fine. We hope it will.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. The doctor at CDC just talked about dusting off preparedness plans.
Right.
But coming from you, it has more weight. Do you feel that U.S. schools should be preparing for a coronavirus spreading?
I would think so, yes. I mean, I haven't spoken specifically about that with the various doctors, but I would think so, yes. I think every aspect of our society should be prepared. I don't think it's going to come to that, especially with the fact that we're going down, not up. We're going very substantially down, not up. But, yeah, I think schools should be preparing and, you know, get ready just in case. The words are just in case. We don't think we're going to be there. We don't think we're going to be anywhere close. And, again, if you look at some countries, they are coming down. It's starting to go in the other direction. This will end. This will end. You look at flu season, I said 26,000 people. I never heard of a number like that. 26,000 people going up to 69,000 people, doctor, you told me before. 69,000 people die every year from 26 to 69, every year from the flu. Now think of that. It's incredible. So far, the results of all of this that everybody's reading about, and part of the thing is you want to keep it the way it is. You don't want to see panic because there's no reason to be panicked about. But when I mentioned the flu, I said, actually, I asked the various doctors, I said, is this just like flu? Because people die from the flu. And this is very unusual. And it is a little bit different, but in some ways it's easier, and in some ways it's a little bit tougher. But we have it so well under control. I mean, we really have done a very good job. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. You mentioned the stock market earlier. To go back to that, to be clear, the Dow Jones dropped more than 2,000 points this week. Are you suggesting that that was overblown? Are financial markets overreacting here?
I think the financial markets are very upset when they look at the Democrat candidates standing on that stage making fools out of themselves. And they say, if we ever have a president like this, and there's always a possibility, it's an election, you know, who knows what happens, right? I think we're going to win. I think we're going to win by a lot. But when they look at the statements made by the people standing behind those podiums, I think that has a huge effect, yeah.
Had to do with the coronavirus?
No, I think it did. I think it did. But I think you can add quite a bit of sell-off to what they're seeing, because they're seeing the potential. You know, again, I think we're going to win. I feel very confident of it. We've done everything and much more than I said we were going to do. You look at what we've done. What we've done is incredible, with the tax cuts and regulation cuts and rebuilding our military, taking care of our vets and getting them choice and accountability. All of the things we've done, protecting our Second Amendment. I mean, they view that, the Second Amendment, they're going to destroy the Second Amendment. When people look at that, they say, this is not good. So you add that in. I really believe that's a factor. But no, this is what we're talking about is the virus. That's what we're talking about. But I do believe in terms of CNBC and in terms of Fox Business, I do believe that that's a factor, yeah. And I think after I win the election, I think the stock market's going to boom like it's never boomed before. Just like it did, by the way, after I won the last election. The stock market the day after went up like a rocket ship.
Loosen the travel restrictions regarding China?
When we're at a point where we don't have a problem, you know. We're not going to loosen the travel restrictions. That's what saved us. Had I not made, Mike alluded to it, had I not made a decision very early on not to take people from a certain area, we wouldn't be talking this way. We'd be talking about many more people would have been infected. I took a lot of heat. I mean, some people call me racist because I made a decision so early. And we had never done that as a country before, let alone early. So it was a, you know, bold decision. It turned out to be a good decision. But I was criticized by the Democrats. They called me a racist because I made that decision, if you can believe that one. We have to all work together. We can't say bad things, and especially when we have the best team anywhere in the world. And we really gave it an early start. We gave it a very early start.
The Republicans have consistently called for enormous cuts to the CDC, the NIH, and the WHO. You've talked a lot today about how these professionals are excellent, how they're critical and necessary. Does this experience at all give you pause about those
consistent cuts? No, because we can get money and we can increase staff. We know all the people. We know all the good people. It was a question I asked the doctors before. Some of the people we cut, they haven't been used for many, many years. And if we have a need, them, we can get them very quickly. And rather than spending the money, and I'm a business person, I don't like having thousands of people around when you don't need them. When we need them, we can get them back very quickly. For instance, we're bringing some people in tomorrow that are already in this, you know, great government that we have, and very specifically for this. We can build up very, very quickly, and we've already done that. I mean, we really have built up. We have a great staff. And using Mike, I'm doing that because he's in the administration, and he's very good at doing what he does and doing as it relates to this. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah, go ahead.
So far, your administration...
I picked him, but you're fine.
So far, your administration is only testing less than 500 people, and health officials are questioning whether that's enough, comparing to other countries who have tested more than tens of thousands of people. Are you planning to test more people?
Well, we're testing everybody that we need to test. And we're finding very little problem, very little problem. Now, you treat this like a flu. We were, in fact, I might ask one of the doctors to come up and explain it. You want to wash your hands a lot. You want to stay, if you're not feeling well, if you feel you have a flu, stay inside, sort of quarantine yourself, don't go outside. But there are certain steps that you can take that we won't even be necessary. You know, in many cases, when you catch this, it's very light. You don't even know there's a problem. Sometimes they just get the sniffles. Sometimes they just get something where they're not feeling quite right. And sometimes they feel really bad. But that's a little bit like the flu. It's a little like the regular flu that we have flu shots for. And we'll essentially have a flu shot for this in a fairly quick manner. Yeah, go ahead.
Two weeks ago, Mr. President, your acting OMB director was in this room and was talking about what he expects to be GDP growth for this coming year. He said it was 3%, and we've talked about the effects of the coronavirus on the supply chain, the declines in the financial markets. Are you still confident that you'll see that kind of economic growth this year?
No. We're going to have tremendously low unemployment. We're setting records in that way. In fact, the administration is, as you know, the lowest average unemployment of any administration in history. And our numbers are very low, very good, 3.5, 3.6. But you can't really see what this does in terms of GDP. It could affect it, but that's irrelevant compared to what we're talking about. We want to make sure it's safe. Safety, number one. But this would have, you know, an impact on GDP. But we're still we're doing great. But this will have, just like, I'll tell you what has a big impact. Boeing has a big impact. How did that happen? A year ago, all of a sudden, that happened. I think that took away a half a point to a point even. You know, it's a massive company. I think Boeing, we had the General Motors strike. That was a big impact on GDP. And, of course, we're paying interest rates. I disagree with the head of the Fed. I'm not happy with what that is, because he's kept interest rates. President Obama didn't have near the numbers, and yet, if you look at what happened, he was paying zero. We're paying interest. Now, it's more conservative, and frankly, people that put their money away are now getting a return on their money as opposed to not getting anything. But I think, you know, we're the greatest of them all. We should be paying the lowest interest rates. And when Germany and other countries are paying negative rates, meaning they're literally getting paid when they put out money. I mean, they borrow money and they get paid when it gets paid back. Who ever heard of this before? It's a first. But we don't do that. So I totally disagree with our Fed. I think our Fed has made a terrible mistake, and it would have made a big difference, as good as we've done, even without the 2,000 points. And we started off at 16,000, and we'll be at 28,000 without. We were going to crack 30,000. We have had increases like nobody's seen before. But we're doing well, but we have to watch. We're doing well anyway, in other words, even despite the 2,000 points. It sounds like a lot, and it's a lot, but it's not. It's very little compared to what we've gone up. But we'll be watching it very closely. But we have been hurt by General Motors. We've been hurt by Boeing, and we've been hurt, in my opinion, very badly by our own Federal Reserve, who has also created a very strong dollar. That's something nice about a strong dollar, but it makes it much harder to do business outside of this country.
Thank you, sir. A number of your supporters online have embraced these theories or forwarded these theories that the CDC may be exaggerating the threat of coronavirus to hurt you politically. Rush Limbaugh the other day said this has been advanced to weaponize the virus against you.
You don't mean my supporters. You mean my people that are not supporting.
Right, your opponents.
I agree with it. I think I'd like it to stop. I think people know that when Chuck Schumer gets upset, I mean, he did the same thing with a couple of trade deals that are phenomenal deals now. Everybody's acknowledged they're phenomenal deals. Before he ever saw the deal, he didn't even know we were going to make a deal. They said, what do you think of the deal with China? I don't like it. I don't like it. He talked about tariffs. I left the tariffs on, 25% on $250 billion. He said he took the tariffs off. He didn't even know the deal. And he was out there knocking it, because that's a natural thing to say. But when you're talking about especially something like this, we have to be on the same team. This is too important. We have to be on the same team.
Have you seen evidence that the CDC is trying to hurt you? That
no, I don't think the CDC is at all. No, they've been working really well together. Yeah. No, they really are. They're professional. I think they're beyond that. They want this to go away. They want to do it with as little disruption, and they don't want to lose life. I see the way they're working. They're this gentle, these people behind me and others that are in the other room. They're incredible people. No, I don't see that at all.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you very much. I don't know who said that, but I
that was me. Thank you, Mr. President. Tonight, you're minimizing the risk, the danger of the virus. Are you telling the Americans, except for the ones who are sick, not to change any of their behaviors?
No, I think you have to always, you know, I do it a lot anyway, as you probably heard. Wash your hands, stay clean. You don't have to necessarily grab every handrail unless you have to. You know, you do certain things that you do when you have the flu. I mean, view this the same as the flu. When somebody sneezes, I mean, I try and bail out as much as possible when they're sneezing. I had a man come up to me a week ago. I hadn't seen him in a long time. And I said, how are you doing? He said, fine, fine. He hugs me, kiss. I said, are you well? He says, no. He said, I have the worst fever and the worst flu. And he's hugging and kissing me. So I said, excuse me. I went and I started washing my hands. So you have to do that. You know, this is, I really think, Doctor, you want to treat this like you treat the flu, right? And, you know, it's going to be. I want to have you, I love, it was so nice of you to say thank you very much. Go ahead, give me a nice question then. Don't ruin it. Don't ruin it with a bad question. Go ahead.
It's really nice to talk to you without the helicopter. I got to say that. But also, I want to talk to you about 2014. During the Ebola crisis, you said you wanted a quote-unquote full travel ban. You said Obama was a quote-unquote stubborn dope, not for doing it. You said, just stop the flights, dummies. You also said it was a quote-unquote total joke to appoint someone to lead the Ebola response with, quote, zero experience in the medical field. Now you've appointed
They listened
Mike
to
Pence.
A lot of what I had to say.
I did. So and how does that square with what you're doing
they
now?
They listened to a lot, well, because this is a much different problem than Ebola. Ebola, you disintegrated, especially at the beginning. They've made a lot of progress now in Ebola. But with Ebola, we were talking about it before, you disintegrated. You got Ebola. That was it. This one is different, much different. This is a flu. This is like a flu. And this is a much different situation than Ebola. But and we're working on Ebola right now, by the way. We're working on certain areas of the Congo. The Congo has Ebola, and caused largely by the fact that they have war and people can't get there. We can now treat Ebola. At that time, it was infectious, and you couldn't treat it. Nobody knew anything about it. Nobody had ever heard of anything like this. So it's a much different situation.
The rate of mortality.
Thank you. Let me ask you this.
Yeah, go ahead.
In just the course of the last couple of minutes, you have disputed some of what the officials that are working in your administration behind you have said about the risk of coronavirus and its spread. Do you trust your health officials to give you good information, or do you trust your own instincts more?
I don't think I have. They've said it could be worse, and I've said it could be worse, too. I also think, no, I don't think it's inevitable. I don't think it's inevitable. I think that we're doing a really good job in terms of maintaining borders, in terms of letting people in terms of checking people. And also, that's one of the reasons I'm here today, getting the word out so people can, they'll know, they're going to know. No, I don't think it's inevitable. I think that there's a chance that it could get worse. There's a chance it could get fairly substantially worse. But nothing's inevitable.
Mr. President, Brazil has its first case.
That's right. Brazil.
And, right, Brazil.
Yeah.
And you have many Americans now in Brazil for Carnival. What are your concerns, and what are the procedures and practices that you plan to implement as those Americans are trying to come back home?
Yes, we've gotten very strong on people coming in from Brazil. Now, it only has one case. It's a big country, but it only has one case. But still, it's a case. We deal with Brazil very well. The president's a very good friend of mine. In fact, he ran on exactly, it's called Make Brazil Great Again. That's what he ran on. We get along very well. I know you're so thrilled to hear that. We get along very, very well. And we're working with Brazil, but we have much worse instances than Brazil. You know, you have Italy and you have other countries where they have much more than one person. They have one person right now, as of now, as of just a little while ago, one person in Brazil. But Italy is, you know, a deeper problem. And we're checking people coming in very, very strongly from those. And at some point, we may cut that off. You know, at some point, depending on what happens, we may cut certain additional countries off, like we've had to do with China. And we hope we can open it up to China as soon as possible. And we hope the numbers we've been getting, we hope the numbers that we've been getting are true on China, where it really has leveled off and started to go down. Because eventually, sometime, that's going to happen. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. You've said repeatedly that you think the federal government is very prepared, that you're ready for this.
Yep.
But if you think that Secretary Azar is doing such a great job, why did you feel the need to make a change and put Vice President Mike Pence in charge of the federal response to this virus?
I think Secretary Azar is doing a fantastic job. But he also has many other things. I mean, we're working on many, many things together. If you look at his schedule of what he's doing, including drug prices and I think it's perhaps the most complicated job that we have in government. And I want him to be able to focus on that. And Mike is really good at it. They're going to work together. They're going to work very closely together. And they're both in the administration. I see them all the time. So it really works. This isn't a czar. This isn't going out and getting somebody that's never been in the administration. I have two people that are very talented. And it's something I feel good about. I don't want to spare the horses. I have very talented people. I want to use them on this because I want it to stay low or as low as possible.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to get to China. At the beginning of this outbreak, the Chinese Communist Party covered it up. How can you now legitimately trust President Xi and the Chinese
Xi.
Communist regime,
President Xi.
President Xi, and the Chinese Communist regime to be forthcoming and forthright with this pandemic?
Well, I can tell you this. I speak to him. I had a talk with him very recently, and he is working so hard on this problem. They're very tough and very smart. It's a significant group of very talented people that are working. And they're calling up Dr. Fauci. They're calling up our people. We're dealing with
And them. That's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.